The first reading can be found on page 560 of the Pew Bibles, 994 of the large print Bibles, Psalm 32, 1 to 5. Psalm 32 of David. Blessed is he whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord does not count against him, and in whose spirit is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was sapped, as in the heat of the summer. Then I acknowledged my sin to you. I did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke 15, verses 11 to 32. Jesus told them this parable. There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, Father, give me my share of the estate. So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country. He began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to feed his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, How many of my father's servants have food to spare? And here I am, starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your servants. So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let us have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the elder son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. Your brother has come, he replied, and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back. Safe and sound. The elder brother became angry and refused to go in, so his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders, yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours who has squandered your property with prostitutes comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him. My son, the father said, you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad, because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ. As I begin a prayer, Heavenly Father, may my spoken words be faithful to your written word and lead us to the living word, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We're going to be looking at both of the readings we've just listened to this morning, so it might help you to keep a finger in page 560 and page 1049 of your pew Bibles. If we consider the grand sweep of the Bible, then one of the big themes that we will find is forgiveness. In our reading from Psalm 32, the writer, traditionally identified as King David, proclaims the joy of knowing his fault has been forgiven by God. The psalm itself is not a prayer of repentance, but tells of the psalmist's own experience of God's mercy, and thereby encourages us, his readers, that through repentance we too can know the amazing blessing of God's forgiveness. I'm sure that all of us have at times felt crushed by our own failures. The feeling of guilt that comes when we know that we haven't spoken or behaved as we should. Everything might appear to be okay on the outside, but on the inside, we can feel that something has gone badly wrong. Guilt messes with our feelings and with our mind. We can feel sick, we can feel remorseful and ashamed. Our shame might tempt us to hide our wrongdoing, but burying sin is like burying toxic waste. It might not be visible, but out of sight, it poisons everything around it. The truth is, God wants us to live a guilt-free life. He knows us, he knows the worst about us, and he is eager and willing to forgive us. He's proved that beyond all doubt by sending his Son, Jesus Christ, to pay the price of our sin in order to free us from the guilt of our sin. And the sooner that we confess our sin, the sooner God frees us from the guilt of it and its damaging power. In our gospel reading this morning, we've heard the famous parable of the prodigal son, the wastrel son. The parable is now more accurately called the lost son, because it is the third in a series of three parables that illustrate God's attitude to those who are lost. In the parables of the lost sheep and the lost coin, we learn of God's love for the lost. The sheep and the coin represent people. The shepherd and the woman who go in search of them represent God. God does not forget the lost. He doesn't write them off. He goes in search of them until he finds them and he brings them home. In the parable of the lost son, we have a father and his two sons. Now, this is not about something being lost by accident or carelessness, but by deliberate choices and actions. The father represents God, and the two sons represent attitudes that people can have towards God. By asking his father for his inheritance, the younger son is basically saying to his father, "I can't wait for you to die. I've waited long enough. Give me my money now." Now, his father didn't have to give him his inheritance, but he did. He gave his son freedom at the risk of losing him. Having got his money and spent all his money, the son has to become a swineherd, living and eating with pigs, animals deemed unclean in Jewish law. A Jewish man living among pigs was about as low as he could get. Having reached rock bottom, he comes to his senses. He regrets his behavior and resolves to return to the security of his father's house. The security that he had previously seen as a prison, he now realizes is a sanctuary. So he returns to his father to admit his fault and ask forgiveness. And in Bible speak, that's known as repentance. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him, which infers that his father is waiting for him and watching for him. And filled with compassion for him, he ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. Now, apparently in Jesus' day, it was considered very unseemly for a senior man to run. But the father here doesn't care what people might think about him. All he cares about is that his son is coming home. The father doesn't make the son come to him. He doesn't make the son apologize. He doesn't make the son ask for forgiveness. In fact, when the son does try to admit his fault, the father seems to ignore it, so intent is he on organizing a great celebration. What is important to the father is that his son has come home. Going back to the psalm, King David knew the forgiveness of God. He had committed adultery with Bathsheba, if you remember. And then, to hide the adultery, he had sent her husband Uriah into battle in the hope that he would be killed. In a number of psalms, David refers to this sin and his struggles with the guilt. So when he writes, he does so not as a holier-than-thou, preachy accuser, but as someone who has committed the gravest of sins and who has experienced the freedom of God's forgiveness. And because he speaks from experience rather than theory, we can trust what he says. Our failures need not have the last word. Our sin need not condemn us for life. No matter what we've done, no matter how far from God we've gone, there is forgiveness through Christ. There can still be blessing. David says God does all of this for the one in whose spirit there is no deceit. In other words, we need to come to God honestly. He needs us to be honest with him. David made the mistake of trying to hide his sin. He said, "When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long." His guilt was making him ill, until he made the decision in verse 5. "Then I acknowledged my sin and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord." The moment he confessed, God forgave. God is wanting to forgive us. He is waiting to forgive us, and he is quick to forgive us. Not on the basis of our confession, but on the basis of the sacrifice of Jesus. Jesus has already paid the price required for our forgiveness. He paid it because he believes we are worth it. Every single one of us, no matter what we've done. He paid it because he loves us. Every single one of us, whether we return his love or not. The father did not stop loving his son just because his son rejected him. It's a gift that is waiting to be claimed. It's a blessing waiting to be enjoyed. But we're often slow to admit our guilt. Maybe we rationalize our sin, we minimize it, we make excuses for it. Maybe we blame the circumstances and other people. Or maybe we're just too ashamed to come before God yet again, having messed up again and again. When David finally confessed, like the son in the pigsty, he didn't make excuses. "This is my sin, my iniquity, my transgressions." We need to own our sin before God before we can give it to God. And in return, we receive God's forgiveness, God's grace, God's blessing, all through Jesus Christ. God's forgiveness does not change our past, but it guarantees to change our future. He knows the worst about us, but he frees us from our past so that we can become our best. And like all of God's gifts and blessings, God's forgiveness is to be shared. We forgive because we have been forgiven. In the parable, the elder son was deeply offended by his brother's behaviour. But it seems that he was even more offended by his father's behaviour. How dare his father forgive his brother? How dare he? Sometimes we can have the same attitude as the elder brother. But it's not up to us to tell God who he can forgive or not. And if God did not withhold his forgiveness from me, why should I withhold my forgiveness from another? We know that may not be easy. It may be something that we have to do over and over again. It may be something that we have to deliberately wake up and choose to do every day. But with the help of God, we can. And one way that God helps us to forgive someone is to pray for the person who has wronged us. As we pray for someone, we start to see that person as God sees them. As we pray for that person, God gives us new eyes to see and a new heart to care for that person. And as we forgive those who have wronged us, perhaps it is then that we become most like Christ. Amen.